this is an outstanding time to tune in, to listen in to what your higher self is saying. Take a moment to connect with that source of inner guidance, that part of you that remembers who you are and why you're here. And ask that part of yourself, what am I to do today? How am I to spend this next few hours, this evening, night, tomorrow? And ask, is there anything that I have forgotten and need to be reminded of? Ask that sincerely and listen. Commit to remembering that as often as you can, as consistently as you can. And then take a moment to notice the difference you make in your world. Notice that when you smile, others smile, and when you frown, they frown. Scan just today, and notice what positive light you have brought to the world, but specifically to those you've been in contact with. We each have our own light to bring, and our own way to bring that light. And the people who will respond to that light, who need that light, who love and appreciate that light and use it to remember, those are the ones that come to us. It may seem random, but it's all on purpose. Take a moment now and just appreciate yourself and your willingness to show up. Yes, this afternoon, but to show up in this life in all the ways you're called. You do make a profound difference. And if you're called and if you remember it, say along with me our meditation affirmation. I am one self, united with my Creator, at one with every aspect of creation, unlimited in power and in peace. And so it is.
Good afternoon.
Oh, all right, come on.
Let's gather the truth.
That's all good, that's all good. The chosen focus for today was living on purpose. And actually, I'm going to borrow some local wisdom and then I'll bring in what I found. But what does it mean to you to live on purpose?
I think we do that whether we realize it or not.
Say just a little more.
Well, we may think we're doing one thing and but actually, I don't know how to explain it. We're doing what our purpose is, you know, and we may not like our purpose or not realize what our purpose is. Like they always say, you can tell what your values are by your time and your checkbook.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
You know, it's kind of the same thing. It's like, what do you do with your time? What do you do with your money? That shows you what your purpose is, whether you know it or not.
Got it.
And so, I think we all live our purpose. It's just the question of what is our purpose.
Got it. Okay. Good. Yeah, fine.
I agree.
Hi, Peggy.
With that. I agree 100% with what Pat just said. I think that's one of the great questions that we are often asking ourselves. Am I fulfilled?
Uh-huh.
And many of us feel as though, you know, we're not changing multitudes of lives by doing some magnificent
big thing, yeah.
Big thing, not as we consider it. But I heard this statement of knowing that we're on purpose, and it really resonated with me. And that is that being on purpose is just being the best version of yourself.
Ah, being on purpose is being the best version of yourself.
And I think that's exactly what you were saying. You're just doing. I mean, that's what it communicates. That's what I heard. I may not have learned what you were.
Not quite.
Cool.
Yeah. I agree with you, too.
Yeah. Hello, you guys. Would you like a couch? Because we can actually turn Bob a little bit and include that corner of the couch. How's that?
Yeah.
I mean, we're just deciding to be cozy here because we're a cozy bunch.
Aren't we?
Yeah.
We're changing formation of the football team.
Yeah, that there you go. There you go. Calling an audible here.
Keep them guessing.
Who has the ball?
Yeah. So what we're looking at is we're looking at what does it mean to live on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Not asking you what your purpose is right now, just what does it mean to live on purpose?
Yeah, I know, huh? Dead giveaway.
Just off the top of one's
head. Yeah, off the top of one's head.
Without thinking about it and just letting it flow from a heartfelt space to live on purpose. When you open your eyes, to be aware of what it is you love, what it is you wish to accomplish, what it is that you might need to do, and then not to allow the world to distract you from that, and be open enough to the world and its needs to detour your own to help others. Don't ask where I got that, because I don't know what it means.
Good, yeah.
I really don't know what it means.
So what I heard you say was basically paying attention to what it is you're called or moved to do, and not being distracted by the world, but still being responsive to the world. Does that fairly.
Yes, and I say that not because that's what I do.
No, I'm not asking.
Oh.
No.
You don't want me to be myself.
No.
Okay.
Now,
just
looking right now. What does it mean to live on purpose? Any thoughts, you two?
Right now, in my life, I'm learning to just that I have to let go and let God.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I just have to. Right now, things have certainly not went the way, you know, that I was really hoping they would go in many areas of my life, and that I just have to trust God and trust what is and accept it. But just really like, without going into detail, but just, you know, like, to accept where my granddaughter's at, great granddaughter, but she's been a granddaughter to me, and support her and trust her, you know, that she's doing what she has to do, take care of herself.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I can't, you know, right now have any kind of information or anything else,
mm-hmm.
just, you know, trust her path.
Good.
And support her. And I have to just let go and let God in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And just in every situation in my life, I just really, things aren't definitely not going
mm-hmm.
my way.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to go on purpose, I just have to just really, I guess, trust God. And just,
yeah.
You know, just trust.
And there's another piece, too. It's trusting God, and also it's trusting other people on their path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was part of our own living on purpose is trusting that other people are doing what they need to do as well.
Yeah. Even like, her dad, you know, I just have to trust
it. Yeah, no clue, but you
got
to trust
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, and that's, you know, trusting the system, whether I like it or not. You know,
yeah.
I just have to turn it over. Right now in my life, I just really am in a situation where I just have to turn things over.
Yep.
And just, you know,
that's it.
Kind of where
yeah.
it's at with me
yeah.
right now. My friend wanted to tell her what was going on. She says, "What can you do?" And I go, "Well,
yeah.
right now it's not much. It's up to giving it to God. There's nothing much else I can do, you know.
That's
in all situations in my life.
Yeah.
So
a good spiritual
right.
practice for sure. Yeah. What's it mean to live on purpose?
I'm kind of just fumbling through.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I vote for that one.
Fumbling through just somebody providing this one and her daughter with a lot of support.
Yeah. So do you think we all have on some level the same purpose, or that we all have very different purposes? I mean, there are a lot of ways to look at it. So the way, however you choose to look at it, I mean, do we have the same purpose expressed differently, or do we actually have different purpi? Okay.
Purpoises.
Yeah.
Point one. Personally, because it doesn't matter what the belief system is, that if we have some sort of belief that we came to accomplish something, and we could just have a lesson, and you already said it, and the
mm-hmm.
purpose is for each of us to be a different expression and show up that way, and
So what I'm sort of hearing is you're saying, yeah, we all have the same purpose, and that purpose is to express our own individual part.
Of what the purpose is, not separate from
yeah.
others. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
But if we have lessons to learn, if my lesson is learned through whatever I'm going through and yours is going through what you're going through, it doesn't mean that I'm not good at expression. Let me say it the way it is. Nicole and I. We all come to go back home, and we're at different stages of getting there, and we all come down and we fall out of the sky, and there we are, and we're born, and then we have choice on what we, if we're going to maybe make the grade or kind of use the potential that maybe we need to meet to go to the next plane. But while we're here, it's not like I have this job to do to hell with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that. It's just that I have this job to do. And like you're always saying, when you bump me, it means I have more work. And that lesson is rough for me, because that really makes you have to be responsible for everything.
So the picture that comes to mind with what you're describing here for me is like an orchestra.
Yeah.
Okay, that we each have our own instrument to play, but we are actually putting on a symphony with some bigger thing.
Good.
So, okay.
And somebody's, because I played an orchestra and I played a cello, so that really helped me. And the figure by nail, the French horn, the oboe, I'm hearing
it. Yeah, yeah.
And when somebody was off, hello, you know, that's the violin, you know, clarinet, but, you know. All they had to do was be tuned. Very good.
Okay.
I think that's an interesting question, because I think I believe that we help them think about what our purpose is opposed to someone else's brain. And and if we do truly believe that we are all interconnected, which is what we're trying to learn, then it would be interesting to think about it, that we're all, and I do believe really that we're supposed to respect yourself really very much.
Thank you for what you shared.
And you, when in meditation, you said something about when we smile, others smile.
Mm-hmm.
When we frown, others frown.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like this interconnected thing, is that if we are together in community purpose, as an orchestra, or whatever, being in a business meeting or something, or a church meeting, that's a real focused example of having to be on the same purpose, right? Because it's our task. We're trying to figure out how to do this, and everybody has to contribute and figure out. But somehow, we get out of that, we leave the room, and then we go off on our own little pathway.
Uh-huh.
Right? It's like, okay, now I'm on my pathway.
Yeah.
That's very true.
It's interesting to think about, you know?
So maybe it depends on our level of awareness or consciousness in terms of how we actually see ourselves. At any point in time. Yeah.
And you could say our level of incarnation.
Okay.
You know, how many times have we been around? How many times does it take us to realize that we are divine beings?
Ah, okay. And so sometimes some of us remember more. We've been around enough more to say, okay, it's really in my consciousness.
To come to it faster in this lifetime.
Okay.
But I think we all have the same purpose.
Okay.
And it's just a question of seeing it. Like I like to say that, you know, we're all on a spiritual path, but most people don't know it. And then they try to fulfill that deep yearning, that deep longing with material possessions.
Mm-hmm.
And some people get enough material possessions where they realize that isn't it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still feeling like, what is it then? But some people never get enough material possessions, and they go through that with the whole life forever.
Come back around.
All
the time,
And anyway, there's a book called Hope for the Flowers.
Hope for the Flowers is a beautiful book,
Write that down for somebody. I don't know that one.
Oh,
It's a children's adult book.
Yeah, I wonder if it's even around here. But Hope for the Flower, it's a very simple and beautiful book.
I'm in the process of writing a short story about a snowflake.
Ah.
That is going through the water cycle. And as the snowflake is going through the water cycle, it's going, deja vu. I think goes, I wonder if other things do this. I wonder if people do this. I'm trying to introduce the subject of reincarnation.
Oh, that's cool.
To people
that's
who
a really
don't
cute way
believe
of doing
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I'm a writer, and I won't tell you, but that's good.
Yeah. That's good.
That's really good. I will tell you that's good.
So let me share with you a couple of things that I pulled out from various places about purpose. So the Baha'i faith says the purpose of the one true God in revealing himself unto men is to lay bare those gems that lie hidden within the mind of their true and inmost selves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The purpose of the one true God in revealing himself unto men, so the reason God reveals himself to men, is to lay bare those gems that lie hidden within the mind of their true inmost self, men. Mm. To help us see or notice or bear or uncover what's inside of us, how we're created to be. Yeah, our own uniqueness, our snowflakeness. Yeah. The Unification Church. God's purpose in creating the universe is to feel happiness when he sees the purpose of goodness fulfilled in the heavenly kingdom. The purpose of the universe's existence, centered on man, is to return joy to God, the Creator. That's a little, of Course in Miracles says, God's will for me is perfect happiness. You know, that's it. Oh, okay.
Circuit all the others.
Yeah, right. Oh, I'm not happy. You know, the problem for me with that, by the way, is depending on your level of awareness, the definition of what makes you happy is very different. It can be very egoic and very separate and very at the expense of others, people, places, and things. Or it can be real happiness based on what's pervasive. So that's an interesting, you know, that's why a lot of people can take spiritual writings and say, well, I'm living it, you know, and be really totally, you know, I'm living it, they're not, you know. And
yeah, they're just on a different...
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I thought about a minute or two ago when we were going through that.
Yeah.
Earlier today, I walked in and I wanted to share something with her. I had a big smile on my face. And she frowned, and I'm going, okay, so who's the one here that needs to work?
Yeah. You know? Yeah, so do you frown in response to that, or do you keep smiling until she actually, or not until she smiles, but do you just keep smiling anyway?
No, I was about something else. But it, no, but it, what it tells me is that
I'm preoccupied.
No, you.
No, it's about him. He's got it.
No, it's about me, not you.
Yeah, he's got it.
It's about me, not you.
Yeah. So go ahead.
Yeah.
So let him keep doing it. This is good.
One of these days I'll get it.
I'm sorry.
No, here. I think you missed it.
I honestly think I did too.
No, you're fine.
So the question remains.
He remembers the smile sometimes,
did you,
yeah.
Did you keep smiling, or did you frown when she frowned?
I probably frowned and walked out. It was just that the way the discussion went, it brought that to mind.
Yeah. And it's not even a matter of what we do, it's a matter of being aware of what we do. And sometimes the proper response is to frown, because there needs rapport, there needs something else, there's some other reason for that, but not to forget how to smile. Yeah, so it doesn't really matter what we do, it's a matter that we're aware. We notice, oh, I noticed what I did. What's that? How does that feel? Felt right? Didn't feel right? Okay, choose again.
And that's an example of me not responding to getting so hyper-focused on what I have to do and not
Yeah.
In other words, sometimes, you know, I just get hyper-focused.
But that's not bad, okay? So,
so
Carol, what I want to come back to, again, is to say what he said a couple minutes ago. What he said a couple minutes ago is it's not about you. It's about him. It's not about the fact that you were hyper-focused. That might have been absolutely, totally appropriate, totally on purpose, and not to judge yourself for that. It's just the way you were at that moment in time of what was called at that moment in time. And if you are called to change that kind of response, you don't do it because what he's talking about now. You do it because it feels better to you to be less focused. But I know there are times when I have to be focused. And I can be, quote, rude because I've got to keep that train of thought.
That's what I do. Exactly.
Yeah. And I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, I get it.
So people have their experience, yeah.
But looking at that from my perspective, if I were in Bill's shoes.
Yeah.
It kind of goes back to what you said last week, what you and Betty Lou said last week. All relationships are for healing.
Yes.
And we should say thank you for showing me, Bill, where I have a wound.
Mm-hmm.
I was upset because Carol frowned.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted her to smile. It wounded me. And I am off purpose.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Great.
Yeah.
Good job, Bob.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. That's great.
May I say something about the snowflake?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Excuse me. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean to malign your snowflake. Yeah. Yeah.
I like the snowflake.
The snowflake, the other really important thing about the snowflake is the snowflake understood that he or she had an intrinsic thing about him or that did not change.
Uh-huh.
It, although the outer change, the spirit did not change.
Right.
And so I wanted to relay that.
That's cool.
In
yeah.
Story.
Yeah. I mean, it's the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's water in terms of liquid, steam, or ice. You know, it's the phases, but it's the same substance that makes it up.
The essence.
Yeah.
The snowflake knew. You know, I'm this one here, but I'm still.
Yeah.
I know what I am. Maybe that purpose. You know, I know purpose.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah. So Albert Schweitzer says, and don't take this too personally, Carol. I know this will be a good one for you. The purpose of human life is to serve and to show compassion and the will to help others. And the reason I said that to you, Carol, wasn't for you, although in this group you exemplify that. Our purpose is not to give ourselves away or abandon ourselves to take care of others, but it's to serve. And to serve actually means to serve the highest good. And that is, if we go back to the whole concept of oneness, or we're in this together, it is not true service if in giving to you I diminish myself, because that does not serve the highest good. It is true service if in serving you I am fulfilled. So there's a difference there, and we could go back to sort of a variation of, if I'm bumped, I thank you very much for showing me where I'm vulnerable, okay? But if I am feeling drained, it's like, oh, I got it. There's a better way to serve. And we just look for that. Yeah.
Well, the person in that I was doing so much, doesn't matter what the details, that I got myself close in the morning when I thought I thought it was like a customer. But I couldn't believe how the, I'm not sick, I'm not stopping, I can do it, I can do it. Well, you talked about.
Yeah.
I said to myself, hello. I couldn't even hold my head. I was hurting myself so much when I coughed. I couldn't, and then you said your lungs aren't expanding. I didn't. Girl, your lungs are. And I never saw
No, that's good.
The threat of me being
yeah.
busy and
yeah, and so for you, the similarity here, if I can, if you'll permit some projection, the similarity between you and Peggy here, the stories you're telling today, is that for her, everything is just gotten going ways that she doesn't know, and your best response is just to turn it over, to trust God somehow. And when you say, wait, I can't keep pushing on, your best response is, I've got to let it go and find another way to relate to this. So those are wonderful wake-up calls. Wonderful wake-up calls. When we notice if we're not being filled, then we need to step back and try another way. The Dalai Lama said our prime purpose in this life is to help others. If you can't help them, at least don't hurt them.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, I'm twisting all of these, but I want to say that one of the ways that we hurt other people is we cause them to feel guilty. And so if I serve you, if I give to you, and there is any sacrifice in me, consciously or unconsciously, I have given you an excuse, a reason to feel guilty. And therefore, I actually have hurt you. So when I do not serve, hello, Rick, pull up a chair anywhere you want. Yeah. So if I do not give with joy, then I actually have hurt you by hurting me. So again, I want to just come back to this whole thing about, yes, we're here to serve, yes, we're here to give, yes, we're here to help others, and not at the expense of ourselves, you know, but really to serve the highest good.
And we had a cat guy on this book, and he loved our babies. And I really believe our little baby had a sister. And long story short, when we got all the drama, I really believe our little kitty was helping us something, helping me something. And we took it that way.
Buddha was good. He said, your purpose in life is to find your purpose.
Ah.
And to give your whole heart and soul to it. And so, again, to twist it, to use it, to me, one of the ways I believe we know we're on purpose, or at least we're getting closer to our purpose, is we are willing to, in fact, we want to give our heart and soul to something. That there isn't any sacrifice. There's like excitement, enjoyment, looking forward, anticipation. There's involvement. There's identification. There's a way that we're caught up in it, which I love. Yeah.
So what comes first, though? The willingness to be open and...
Good question.
Or is it, does it grab you, or do you have to volunteer for it?
So, what do you guys think? What he wants to know is, does your purpose grab you, or do you have to go find your purpose? You know, what comes first?
Do you fall in love with what you're trying to do once you just start to do it, or do you have this feeling that this is what you love to do?
I don't think it has to do with anything doing.
I think it's an openness. Whether it's through meditation, study, or whatever your way is, to open yourself to these types of ideas.
Did you know that you wanted to write because you wanted to write? Or did you start to write and do something and say, hey, I kind of think this is, how did that work for you?
No, I had a, no, I didn't want to write. it was my worst subject in college. No, I had a concept that I had been studying since I was 20. And I had this concept. And I got so excited by the concept, I would gather information about the concept everywhere I could. And I happened one day to go to a psychic. And I told her how excited I was about the concept. And she said, I should write a book. I'm not even a reader, I'm a writer. But then I saw myself. Well, she told me I was walking on a road of diamonds, that I should write a book. And I actually got it from her, and I started walking across the room, and I saw myself walking on this road of diamonds. And I picked one up and I threw it out in the universe. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I'm obligated. Mm-hmm. I'm obligated to the universe to do this. So that's how that hit me. And I think writing is my avenue now, but it's not my purpose.
Yeah, that's okay.
There's an interesting piece in that too, and that is that there are things that sometimes we are resistant to get involved in. Because we don't feel like we don't like to write, or we don't like to teach, or don't feel like we're prepared to, and yet there's that thing in us, that consciousness that needs to be expressed. So how do we get to the point sometimes of getting past the uncomfortableness? You were like almost.
So I'm gonna jump in with this, because she answered in two ways. First, she said, in general, you just open yourself up if it's meditation, it's whatever, which means basically you prepare the soil and wait for it to come in, okay, or invite it in. But the second thing is that her purpose was not writing, and it still isn't writing. Her purpose is actually to ground or to bring in these concepts, and that's what she's in love with. And so she never had, I'm guessing, correct me if I'm wrong, she never had resistance to the study and the learning and the opening and the expansion. And so in terms of purpose, there was never a resistance to move through. In terms of how do we express this purpose in the world, you bet. Okay, well, one of the ways you can do this, and it's only one, by the way, because see, she could walk around and never have written a book and just exude that truth. And she does. But she can do it in a very specific way by writing, which reaches a lot more people than she can do personally. So that's kind of the mechanics. And her purpose isn't to be a writer. Her purpose is to bring in and live these principles. That happens to be one way. So that's my guess on that. And so, yeah, she's got a... I'm really totally projecting on you. But her love of the principle makes the inconvenience of writing a minor detail.
And the other piece of that is that it's not my purpose. But another thing I love to do, like you, in gathering information, I am clearing myself of projection, of negative thoughts, actually positive thoughts sometimes. I'm trying to go from good, bad, right, wrong to is. So that there's no judgment, so that I'm clear, so that I can get the information. So that's another piece of it.
So I sidetracked this a little. So she has one response, because Bob's question is still out there.
Yeah.
Does purpose come and find you? Does it hit you upside the head, wake you up, or do you have to somehow find it? So other thoughts, Carol.
My thought is, you know, somebody comes in as a vessel, somebody comes in as a Mozart, somebody comes in, I don't want to say Hitler, that seems like a big jump, but
no, that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Comes in as if it were a dumb day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody can dance, somebody can sing, you know, why these little prodigies, I don't know, but they come in with these talents. But I don't think everybody just pops in like that. I don't think all of us, I don't think we should all expect to be 6 years old and playing a violin, you know. But what I believe that some of us have, I don't care if you want to say charts or numbers, but maybe you're really balanced and are not as stressed out and complex, and you come in and it's pretty clear. And then what they do is they give to the world the music, the dance, the idea, Newton, gravity. I don't know what I'm talking about, but you offer a freedom for me to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And like I told you, it may be the best
where you're going is that all these people with these talents, you know, we still have them in our generation, but their purpose is to bring happiness and joy to others.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm just talking about artists.
Yeah.
And the second part would be, for me personally, is when you find what you do to be natural, to be easy, like
mm-hmm.
Robert said, it gives you joy. And it seems like I didn't plan on becoming a medical advocate. It found me.
Mm-hmm.
And I never,
yeah.
ever knew. I got, you know, the whole story didn't happen. Another time was here.
Yeah.
But the process was not a choice. Somebody had a need. And I found out I could fulfill it.
Yeah,
and then I found
fun.
Out I could fulfill it really well.
Yeah.
Then I found out
right
I could, and it just kept going. And pretty soon, I don't think, if you need Social Security, come to my house.
Yeah.
We come one at a time, one case at a time.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful process. And my own illnesses and things that have happened to me and have happened to others give me, my little toolbox is bigger and bigger on understanding how to help.
Yeah.
But I have to figure out how to help me.
You'll
get it. Next big job.
Yeah. Peggy, you had a response.
Yeah. I just know that in my life, I had a couple of things I wanted to say, but one was, I know that when I was throughout my major part of my life working in special ed was definitely my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it was through my own things I had to overcome, my own being different, my own learning disabilities and everything. And I know that it was actually a life I chose, so I could work with kids in special ed. And so that was a big part of my life purpose. But I want to back up to one thing you said earlier, and that was that you were talking about, when you said, I didn't want to make anybody feel guilty or not have anybody be hurt. And so originally when I found out about my granddaughter not being in a place to want to see me, I was just, you know, really, really hurt and disappointed. So I didn't have a chance because the social work was just real short with me. It's the way it is in the body, you know. and it didn't help bother me, that kind of thing. I didn't have a chance to express anything. But my main goal was to find a way to, you know, let her know that I totally understand, I support her, and I want to, you know, want to support her and her path and where she's at right now. And, you know, that I, you know, she's going through a lot, you know, she's going to counseling, she's in a group home, she's, you know, she's going back to school for the first time, she's, you know, building a relationship with her dad, she's, you know, all of these things going on, and she's not ready, and I just totally understand, and I want to be completely and totally supportive of her. I just don't want her not to feel any guilt that I want her to know, and that when she is ready, I'm here for her, you know, I'm
yep.
Totally ready for her when she's ready for me. And, you know, at one point, a few months ago, she was ready. Right now, she's not. And,
yeah.
And that's okay. And it's okay. And I want her to just not feel any kind of, you know, I don't want her to have any kind of feeling, negative feelings for
yeah.
me or any pressure for me. I just want her to feel okay about it. Somehow, I want to be able to get her this message.
Well, yeah, and here's the interesting thing, because you're actually giving her the message now. Because there are circumstances like this where somebody doesn't want to connect with you and you want to somehow connect with them to let them know that it's okay, they don't want to connect with you, you know. And the only thing we're left to be able to do is to just be at peace and be available. And so, yeah, and this is part of what you're talking about before, just you got to turn it over and you got to trust the whole process.
Like you said,
you
can still be a friend.
You can be a
friend,
yeah.
That was helpful.
Yeah, I let go of that, and
yeah.
Even though things aren't, at least it's not in that situation, at least she's not calling up and telling me how.
Oh, the friend
that.
One, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a different, yeah.
Not that we're friends, but we're not calling up and telling me she doesn't want to be my friend now, or
yeah.
Right now. So,
right.
So that's an improvement.
That's good.
That's good. Haven't got any money yet, but it's an improvement.
It's okay, we'll get it. Yeah.
And even with her dad, I want to, you know, I just want to step back and let him know, you know, I don't know, somehow it's okay. Because it sent me a really message saying, get out, no, you know,
yeah.
Stay away. And
yeah, a lot of
bad stuff and other friends who just, you know, didn't want it. It's just, I want to just be okay with things, and, you know, just
a lot of challenges.
A lot of challenges, but then I want to look at the things that are really good in my life. You know, I got a lot of good hikes and people that do want to be around me, and you know, I want to look at the positive things. You know, not just look at the negative things. There's a lot of positive things.
Yeah. Mr. Rick, so good to see you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah. I just want to know if you had something to share this afternoon.
Do.
Yes,
sure
I thought
you.
So. I
yeah.
could hear it over there. Yeah.
Why not? Thank you all for sharing your perspectives, and I was just thinking, trying to understand your question, Bob, about like the chicken and the egg kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking the best way I could describe it from this perspective, like longitude, latitude perspective, you know, throughout my life, is if I play the tape backwards, it seems like my life has always been on purpose. But I can tell you a lot of times when it would appear that it was not on purpose.
Yeah.
A lot of them. But it seems like, and I think the key is what pops in my head right now is this book called Think, which I just took today. I brought with me. I always move this stuff around.
That's good.
I brought in the truck, not the little one, but the big one, which is better. But anyway, it has a quote in there. It says, most of us concern ourselves with being normal rather than natural. That's the quote. Most of us concern ourselves with being normal rather than natural. And I remember as a kid, I loved nature. Absolutely adored nature. Everything was so fast. It still is. Incredibly fascinating. That said, when I was in the Marines, to give an example, I had some opportunities to stay in and get like $20,000 if I shipped over for 6 years. I get that was the max VRB at the time, variable reenlistment bonus. I could have got $20,000 and I didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing, I had an opportunity, I wanted to fly, but I didn't pass the flight thing to be, you know, to fly. So I said, it's where you could be, you know, an infantry officer. And I said, nah, that's okay, I don't think I'll do that either. So I didn't do that. So I stayed. What ended up happening is I always felt like there was something else I had to do with my life, and it wasn't in both directions, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
What enticements were thrown at me?
Oh.
Yeah.
20,000 enticements, it didn't
nice
work. And then the officer thing didn't do it for me.
Yeah.
And so I just felt there was something in there, and then I heard Wayne talk. That said, I was just reflecting on this the other day, and it's funny that we're having this conversation right now because this is how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne Dyer says, stay low, stay low. And kind of like, you know, if you have like, you ever see these folks have these real high shoes, you know, kind of like really platform shoes.
Oh, high heels.
High
heels. Yeah, okay, yeah. Stilettos.
And
yeah.
That, well, sometimes we had a gal once when I was in chemistry class, and she was flipping. We went to a little after a graduation thing, and she had those kind of shoes on, and she'd flip her hair, you know, and all this kind of stuff. She had those kind of shoes, and right, you know, just she thought she was really or something, and all of a sudden when she went to get up, she fell all over herself because of her shoes. So the point is when you stay low, like if you don't have shoes on, you're barefoot,
yeah,
you're touching the ground, you've got maximum connection to, you know, your center of gravity, that
mm-hmm.
connection with distal senses is right there touching the ground, number one. Number two is you've got a real good conduit without any kind of interface between you and the ground and that you're on. So anyway, yeah, stay low. And that seems to be what works is to not, you know, not go for all the bells and whistles and stuff. Like this shirt, for example. I love this shirt. And I just got it. I go to Goodwill because we have that desire to purchase stuff, get new things
mm-hmm.
and such. All my shirts I get at Goodwill. And I just went the other day to Goodwill. I buy stuff for other people too when I see stuff. Like, oh, this, you know, so-and-so like this, so-and-so like this. So
mm-hmm.
I'm buying all kinds of stuff for other folks. And $7.99.
$7.99.
People say, Rick, don't tell them the price. They say, oh, yeah, you want it. It's a fine. It's a delight. You want to share
it. I love it. Yeah.
And I'm excited. You want to share that. So that's how my life has always been. It's been the excitement. When I turned over logs as a kid, there were salamanders and I love that stuff. Everyone was a whole little microcosm in there, you know, like the universe all right there.
Yeah.
It was awesome, and you get alligator lizards, different color ones, and like brown ones, and greenish shaped ones, and gray ones, and you know, that kind of, it was really neat.
I love it.
So the nature thing has really kept me true, and even though I've gone off the path, I needed to do that too. It turned out those things, I needed that too. And so everything, when people say, would you want to change your life? No. That said, I got to say thank you so much, Robert and everyone here in total. The pledge, which I talk about from time to time, it's time. Everything's coming together. It's amazing. Yesterday the day, it's like the logjam broke, and I started getting all these ideas flow to me, and I was able to make a few little changes and tweaks. And I picked up something out of all my, this great big art thing where I have all these different pictures I do and collage things. And I reached in to just get something, and I pull out exactly what I needed from Helen Keller. A quote from Helen Keller says, if I can remember it, I am only one, and I need this on the other side. One quote of Helen Keller in the blue with the stars, and you know, blue, red, white, blue, and
uh-huh.
stars, you know, blue. So I have Helen Keller quote in there about hope. That's one. And on the other side now, before I had the same quote in the site. Now it's going to be, I am only one. You'll have the hope on one side and on the other side.
Yeah.
I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And because I am only one, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Isn't that
thank
something?
You.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So that's on the menu. A whole bunch more stuff came in there. Everything, it's like, I was thinking of it coming here today. I thought, this whole stuff. And this all started with your and Betty Lou's in the lower right hand corner downstairs.
Oh yeah, that big one.
That
yeah.
That big picture on this wall, it would be down right over there, so to speak. And it had, and I saw two things. You wrote something. Betty Lou wrote something. Something you said. It had Jane, the name Jane in there, and something else had all or something, or good and all or something like that. And I saw, wow, Goodall, Jane Goodall.
Yeah.
And so that was the first, that's where it all started. The whole place, they started from Jane Goodall.
Oh,
and then things, the universe brought me more pictures and the newspaper and all this stuff. So today, I put God is good. And it just fit where I signed my name at the end of it. And then it turns out this thing was designed. It's like, it's as if I'm putting together a puzzle and I don't know what it looks like.
Yeah. But it's ready to be put together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's right. That's right. That's exactly it. It's ready to be put together. And all I have to do is find the pieces. It takes years.
Yeah.
When I did the last prototype, I took that up and gave it out, stuff like that.
You're making me laugh. You're making me smile.
Oh.
No. I don't. That to me, you made me smile. And you said the last prototype, just like it was no big deal.
It just seems like, you know, I'm being with you.
The universe takes sometimes the lead lag time, like when you go to order something from Home Depot, what's the lead time? What's the lag time? It's going to take you, you know, it's going to take 2 weeks before you get departed or something. It's like that. You just have to wait, and then you do other stuff in the meantime, and you're waiting for the universe to catch up, to catch up to you, or you catch up to it, or however that works. And then it brings you people come in your life, and everybody brings you what you need. You know,
exactly,
you don't do it on your own. Everyone comes in, but you have to be, you really have to listen. Like one lady told me when I was up in Rio Vista, I was reciting it. This was back 5 years ago when I was working on the first prototype. May 24th is when I 2011, so that's between, I just that's when it was, and that was all that, or to get to that point, and then from there to now for 5 years, plus other more years. So the lady, I went to to pay a bill that I didn't really owe at the newspaper place, and a lady was there, and I said, and we were talking, and the black thing came up, and I said, would you like to hear it? I'd like to share it with folks, and I said, so I went and shared it. Every time I would I'd get halfway through, she'd say, respect. And I go back and I start over again. And I start saying, respect. And she interrupted me, it's been 4 or 5 times. And I said, you know, to her, I said,
maybe that would be there.
Maybe that should be in there. You know, good idea. That's going to be in there. I'm going to put that in there. And so I did. And it's been that kind of thing.
She's
the most perfect example I can think of. Then it turns out that each, it breaks down in like 5 fingers. It breaks down into 5 stanzas, the way that it turns out, and it says, let's see, I am, it goes like this. Each stanza starts out, I do acronyms, like remember stuff.
Yeah.
But when I did the acronym on the beginning of each sentence, it didn't really make anything, like the first letter. So I thought, well, how about, this was just recently, it took years. So how about if I just go with the first word? Whoa, all of a sudden it goes, I and one with justice. That was horrible. Uh-huh. I and one with justice. And, wow, we're on a roll. I and one with justice. And I looked over on the second stanza, in God, you have God in there.
Yeah.
And then you go, so the deal is that you make the I large, make the one, O-N-E, large, and so on, each first word. And then the one goes over to God, that's large, so it goes like this. I am one God with justice. That's like that was all built in there, and it took all this stuff.
For you to see it.
Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of times I've gone over this, and in my mind and stuff.
If you could, you have an unbelievable way of bringing all your so many things into one place, and I'm curious, could help me with what you're saying, you may not be able to, but what I'm hearing is that you have to be aware to know when it isn't right for you, but can you share, can you zero in on how you knew it was and what the difference was for you, where that thought came from? In other words, when you did know this is what your purpose or this is what you were to do, what were the things that made you know that? Because I think that's somebody's question.
Well, number one is I process everything, bad stuff, so-called good stuff.
The reversal of your life.
Everything in my life, I process it as a blessing in disguise.
Right.
Say, everything's a blessing. Somebody hits me upside the head, well, that's a blessing. I don't like it, but it's a blessing in disguise. So I process it like that. And then when I do connections, all the little synchronicities, still small voice inside, and the little synchronicity stuff, that's my way of seeing the universe communicating with me. What we call coincidences and synchronicities.
Thank you.
And when those things harmonized, and they did today, it was like I got my final piece, I plugged it in, and I never did know until I just started having the big picture, and I'm putting pieces on track, so to speak, and I'm literally and figuratively putting them in, trying different things, and it fits. I said, wow, I got it.
Did you say the word synchronicity?
Yeah.
That's the way you can tell.
How I feel, like sometimes I need a whole day. You have to walk away from what I'm doing. If I'm too close, I can't really tell. I need a day or something, and I'll come back, and if it keeps bugging me and such, then I know it's not right. Mm-hmm. But when it's true, day one, day two, day three, and other people, if I share it with, like President Obama, I have put down moral imperative, and this is so weird. I sent it out to the universe of the world when I went up to the Capitol, and somehow it must have got to President Obama years ago, because he, somehow I read the newspaper, or heard, I guess it was the newspaper, and he had this article about the MIRV, the multiple, the warheads and stuff, they were doing some kind of treaty thing, and he had used that term from Immanuel Kant called moral imperative. And he wrote in there that people didn't like it, and so he changed it to moral necessity. And the deal is how the heck did I get that paper to see what I needed to see, which was a response to my sending it out, moral imperative, and then how did I find that months or whatever it was later, and then it gave it a scripture.
Yeah.
And so when I shared it years later with Marcella recently, I said, "What do you think?" I did the moral imperative, and then I did the moral necessity right off the bat without even questioning it. Moral necessity, and yeah, you're right. And so
the other thing, and I'll cut you off here because we need to close up here. But the other piece of it is that this is what the quote I read from Buddha. See, you know you're on purpose when you've got something you're willing to give your heart and soul to. You know, when it just is, it lives in you, it, no matter what else you're doing. I mean, the rest of the world goes on. You know, you have normal things that you do every single day, but this is a part of it all, and it's always working and growing in you. So that's the piece. Yeah, go ahead.
No, you don't have to. I know you've had different things. I don't know very much about you on a personal basis, because I know you've had different jobs. How do you know? How did you know? And I remember you talked about the competition and wanting humor, all that stuff you talked about. Have you come to that there's one way that it comes to you, or is it, you know, multiple ways?
Yeah. So I will respond, and I'll respond in form of closing right now. But for me, and this is what I would offer, is that I always stay open, and I guess I stay open to where the opening is. I stay aware of where the opening is.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And so that I believe is our hint.
Okay.
It's sort of like, you're sitting here and you're going around, and then suddenly, oh, there's a doorway. I think I'll go through the doorway, knocking on the wall.
Yep.
And so for me, that's I'll say the universe's way. That's our way of guiding ourselves to what's the next step. It's like feel like a doorway, a window. Oh, good. So I do it by staying aware of the opening.
Oh,
yeah.
Very good.
So I want to thank you guys, because this is all about us waking up to our purpose. And thank you, Peggy, because it's also about waking up to accepting and supporting other people in their purpose, even if we don't understand it, or even if it doesn't seem to fit with who we are or what we're doing right now. That it really is a recognition that, as you said earlier, it's all on purpose, and we may not see it yet, or how it all goes together, but our job is to keep playing our part. And for me, you know, my part is kind of defined by, you know, following the openings, because that seems to be where I'm led, or where I'm called to be next. So, Not mine. Yeah. No, it my calling is to go where I'm called to be, where it's open.
Where the open.
Yeah.
I get it.
Today that happens to be here.
That's here right now. So let's stand, if you're willing and able, for just a moment here. And the reason, I know, and we all
we're
get our
words
our
I don't
want to
call
various
foot because I'm we don't want to call each other.
Yeah, get our various parts moving. this is important and symbolic to me, because in however way you look at it, for me, it's an acknowledgement that we are one. You know, there's a thing, the Native Americans said it at the Parliament of World Religions 20 years ago when we went, you know, we're the same, you and I, we're in this together.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that way, we're joined in this experiment, in this expression of purpose, in this remembering, in this unfolding, however it is we each see it, we're in this together. And our reminder is always to love, to serve, and to remember. Love unconditionally. Serve from the heart, not from the head. Serve from the heart. And remember God. Remember good. See that everywhere, in everything. So I thank you guys. Blessings.
Thank you,
Robert.
Yeah.
Good to see you,
Rob. Oh, good to see you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.